For all of our bonus episodes and premium content, become a member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. You can also find us on social media. On Twitter, we're at whatcrappens. On Instagram and Facebook, at watchwhatcrappens. We'll see you there. Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors, Kelly Grant Stump, Cindy Burgess Gerson, Jess Sand, Kelly Barlow, and Christy Dougherty. We love you girls! Hello and welcome to the Watch What Crappens podcast, the podcast about all that crap we love to talk about on ye old bravs. I'm Ronnie Karam from Trash Talk TV and the Rose Pricks Bachelor in Paradise podcast. And here I am with my gorgeous little partner, little bestie, handsome, talented man, Ben Mandelker of the B-Side Blog and the Banter Blender. Hey, baby.
Oh, hello there, Ronnie. How are you?
Good. I've been having weird nightmares.
What? What's wrong?
I don't know. They're so on the nose. It's like, I'm lost, or... I mean, mostly there I'm lost. It's always my nightmare. I'm like lost somewhere, just wandering around. It's pathetic. Well,
you know, I had some weird dreams over the weekend, which I was going to share on the bonus episode, and I've totally forgot. And this is a good excuse for me to mention them. I think I mentioned this at dinner. I don't remember if I did. I had a dream. I went to Dorinda's house, and she was having a little bit of a party, and she had one of those high-tech Japanese toilets that's electronic. And I went to lift up the toilet seat, and I snapped it off by accident. And then she was like, then I was like, what do I do? Because I just broke Dorinda's toilet seat. It's not just a toilet seat. It's a high tech one. Is she going to yell at me? Is she going to kick me out of the party? Am I even supposed to be at this party? And so I was like all panicked. And then I went back out, and then someone who I think I brought invited like 20 people. And so Dorinda started freaking out about the 20 people who came over to the party. And I was like, oh my God, I'm ruining everything.
Well, I wish we could be in each other's dreams, because if you came into mine, you'd be like, here's a Google Maps. And then if I could be in yours, I would just say, blame John. Like, who else is going to break the fucking toilet? John, okay?
You see? You need to be in my dreams.
I know. We need each other in our dreams. Everybody, thanks for being here today. Real quick, we still have tickets for our LA show September 2nd with Jeff Lewis, Gage Edward, Jenny Poulos. Go to watchwhatcrappens.com to get those. Thanks to everybody who's bought tickets. That's going to be a super fun weekend. And we're excited to come to Chicago. That one's sold out, but we're doing two shows there at the end of September. So we're psyched to see you guys. Mm-hmm. And for all our bonus episodes, go over to Patreon. This week's was about our weekend with the ladies of Bravo, or some ladies of Bravo, you know.
Don't want to offend the ladies of Bravo we didn't see.
And we should mention the ladies of Bravo and Nico.
Yes, and
Nico's not
hotties of Bravo, hottie dudes hotties of Bravo.
Oh, that's what I should have called it, hotties of Bravo.
Welcome to the show. Today is Real Housewives of Dallas, which has returned gloriously.
So mad.
I'd like to say.
I'm furious.
Why are you mad?
I'll tell you why I'm mad. Because no one warned me that when Dallas was going to come back for a second season, that it would be so effing good. Oh my God. I loved last night's show.
It was really good. I mean, everything looks better on this show.
Yeah.
The ladies look crazier. I think they said, okay, you all need crazier faces to be on this show. I don't care what you do. Get them cut, pulled, glue gunned. I don't care. Then they put those filters on the, you know, they use the Beverly Hills filters for these ladies. They're like, okay, now you look crazy. And so you can have some scotch tape. Scotch tape is like the clear tape, right? But with smoke. Okay. They're like, we'll put some scotch tape on the lens like we do for Vanderpump and Kyle.
Yeah.
And then they added a bunch of crazies and their moms.
Yeah. No, I think it's an improvement for the better. This reminds me of when Miami came back for its second season and it was like, oh my God, Miami suddenly just came alive. You know, unfortunately they had a bad third season and then were gone. But, Dallas, so far, very strong season premiere for the second season.
Love it.
if you don't pay attention to this company, you are not going to get this company. Oh, yes, mom. Crazy mom with Tammy Faye face.
Yeah, amazing. Amazing.
All right, so shall we just start from the very beginning?
Shall we begin at the beginning? As they say in Joseph and the Amazing Technicolor Dreamcoat,
red and yellow.
Shall we begin at the beginning?
I hate that touching song. You know how much traumatic shit happens in that show? And they're like, now let's sing a nursery song.
I know. That is actually a really bad song.
It was red and yellow and green and brown and scarlet and black and ochre and peach and ruby and olive and violet and golden lilac and... Yeah, I like all those colors. Okay, so this season starts off with Joseph. Wandering through the desert.
With Michael Damian. Starts off with the narrator. It's, next in Dallas days.
So they started the, you know, this season on the real... And it got so crazy... I just stopped taking notes and watched it. Yeah. But it ends with Leanne going, it's a flesh-eating bacteria. And then she's in the hospital with tape on her face.
I'm so excited to see how that turns out.
And I knew I was in.
Yeah. The episode starts in earnest at Carrie Duber's house with like 10 million dogs barking up a storm in her foyer. And Stephanie comes over with her new dog, Biscuit, who's just like a terror. Got to look out for Biscuit.
Yeah. Got to watch those biscuits. It's like, why name your dog after shit none of you eat? Like, who are you kidding? I like Carrie's new face. It looks a little crazy. Like, it's not new. It's just pulled back further.
It looks like she has been riding in a sidecar.
Well, her husband does so many boobs that I think she just got, like, the cone boob from Madonna's days.
She's just like, here's what I want for my face. I want it to look like I'm perpetually blow-drying my hair, okay?
I love she's in a sidecar, and one of her eyes is kind of closing at all times. Like, she's got that Kyle Botox blink, where one eye's blinking a lot and the other eye's, like, looking somewhere else. I love that. That shows effort. Okay?
Yeah.
And we appreciate
it. We respect
that.
We respect.
Yeah. Carrie has become really close with Stephanie because we hang out. We do stuff with the kids. And she invited me to Fashion Week. And now I feel like we're best friends because, you know, that's how friendships are formed.
Exactly. It's one of many tenuous friendships that were formed in between seasons. Carrie, by the way, she's wearing a sweater. Did you notice her sweater? It made her look like a stingray. It was just like this weird flappy thing. It was either a stingray or a flying squirrel. But it was like her arms would come out, but the sweater sort of wrapped around the outside of her elbows. And so she just looked like she'd just go flapping off somewhere.
I didn't even notice any of their clothes. I was looking at everything. It's like dogs, faces.
You missed the stingray sweater. I mean, I just think it's funny that they met at Fashion Week and this is what she came away with, a stingray sweater.
Well, no one leaves Fashion Week with like a nice tunic. You know, it's always something fucking crazy and stupid.
Especially Fashion Week in Dallas.
Oh, girl. Yeah, I think I said one time, one of my cousins lives there and she visited me when I lived in New York. And she's like, well, everyone thinks they're so great here, but Dallas is a fashion capital of the world. And I was like, good God, lady. Just because you guys wear church clothes to Cheesecake Factory and do your hair and makeup to go there doesn't mean you're a fashion capital of the world. Okay, drop it.
Yeah, yeah.
So the new girl comes over.
Yeah, and this is you can tell the producers are really excited to rejigger this franchise because they get the new girl in there right away within like 10 seconds of the season beginning. They're like, oh, here's a new face. Don't worry, everyone. And also a new cast member.
Yes. It's Cameron Westcott. And she's very, very rich. And she's just pretending to be blonde. But she's very, very intelligent. Okay.
So here's something. Did she look familiar to you at all? Aside from the fact that she looked sort of like Nicole Kidman in Big Little Lies?
She looked like this girl I used to go to high school with that drew horses on her Trapper Keeper. And then, like, got a dye job in a decent pantsuit.
Okay, well, maybe it is her. Well, here's the thing. One of our Instagram followers, a really adorable guy. I'm looking at his picture, his account right now. His name is Evan. You can go follow him. It's champagnepoppy_Ronnie. He messaged us and was like, if Cameron Westcott looks familiar, it's because she was on Top Chef Texas. Do you remember the episode where they had to do like a progressive dinner party? They had to go to different people's houses. And there was one couple that where the, this lady was like, I'm obsessed with gummy bears, and they had to make a gummy bear cake.
Oh,
that
Lord.
Was her. That was her and her husband.
I'm obsessed with gummy bears.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that.
Okay, well, other people will.
Did you like that?
Oh.
Did you like my helpful response there?
A no, but instead of a yes and.
Yes.
I get it.
You guys not killing the game.
Yeah.
I don't know whether I like her or not. I like that she's rich as F, because that's really fun about this show. Like, people are so rich, and they're all rich from random things. It's like, my husband was the first one to put sunglasses racks in gas stations. Now we have $19 billion. Like, whoa, Texas.
Yeah.
They make money on everything in Texas.
My husband invented those little plastic things that you have to cut off, so that way you from your clothing that has the price tags on it, you know.
You know how you used to, like, bite open milk cartons? My husband invented those things that go right over the lid, and there's, like, a little tiny plastic handle, and all you have to do is pull that up and then peel it off. Made it almost like a Diet Coke.
Well, my husband invented the material they use to put inside of cardboard boxes that hold liquid, you know? So, like, if you got your chicken stock from Swanson, they have to put that metallic stuff on the inside. My husband made that.
My husband invented those little discs with soap that just float around the toilet bowl.
My husband invented dry cleaning plastic things.
I feel like they are like that. They're like the most boring things ever.
They are. Well, it always reminds me of Down and Out of Beverly Hills, where Richard Dreyfuss's character has, like, his family fortune is built on the fact that he makes wire hangers. Like, someone makes this shit. Someone makes all this shit.
My husband started making those paper things that go over the wire hangers that have the brand on them.
My husband invented advertising on those paper things.
Hanger brands. But no one's husband invented paper, you know? Like, Texas isn't that kind of a place.
No,
but I don't care. They got mall houses based on all sorts of weird jobs. So her husband is, like, in tech.
He's a venture capitalist. But we don't meet him just yet. What happens is she walks in and Carrie goes, oh, Cameron is amazing. First she says, oh, they have wealth. You know what they say? That some people are rich, and then they're the wealthy people who pay the rich people's bills. Well, Cameron's real wealthy. She's the wealthiest, and she is amazing. You know what? The moment I met her, I knew I had to get to know this girl. I'm like, yeah, because you just said how wealthy she is.
Yeah.
Could you be more transparent?
Yeah. See, richer than you. Also, I like that this is kind of the widest show in the world. And Carrie's like, you know, it's like Chris Rock said. It's like, oh. I feel like Chris Rock is actually sitting at home watching Dallas going like, God damn it.
I didn't think this show could actually get any whiter until Cameron showed up, because she is so blazingly white. Even like Princess Elsa is like, girl, chill. Like, this is, I need to put my sunglasses on when I look at you.
So she's got a little purse dog, little Yorkie named Louis Vuitton Westcott.
Yes.
So let's see here. Not too much, except we get to know a little bit about Cameron. Carrie insists that she's like the real life Elle Woods. Now, if anybody's seen Legally Blonde, which I hope everybody in this audience has, Elle Woods is this plucky little bimbo who reads a lot of law books and then becomes actually smart. I don't get that here.
Yeah.
This girl isn't really going for, like, law, okay? She wants to make pink dog food.
Yeah. Her whole thing is, she goes, well, I do have a blonde license plate, and I am telling you, everyone drives so safe around my car. Like, does that
genius.
Mean it says blonde?
I'd like to use my blonde card. It's a con as old as hair dye. So Carrie's having a party for Mark, her dress-buying fetish husband.
Yeah.
And she's like, I'm really trying to move on from the whole Leanne thing. And then we get some clips of the reunion where Leanne's like, well, at least I didn't steal my husband. You know, someone in church. Whatever.
Mimicker.
And then Carrie was trying to cry, but her face wouldn't really move. And she's like, how could you? So Stephanie says, "Well, speaking of her, did you see the police report that Marie tweeted out?" And yeah. Kira's like, "Yeah, she tried to kill someone with a knife and sandpaper, apparently."
And Cameron goes, "I would never have thought of sandpaper as a weapon." Who does that?
I love that Leanne tried to kill someone with sandpaper.
"I'm either going to try to kill you or smooth you out."
"You're either going to die or your turkey neck is going to die. What's it going to be, mister?"
"Listen, I'm either going to rub you out or I'm going to rub you out."
I took a screenshot of this lawsuit. Can I read some of it? Because it's sure. Amazing. Offense narrative, which I like, you know, that they make it like theatrical.
Yes.
Stated that the suspect became upset and began swinging a large kitchen knife at him, forcing the comp to lock himself in a bedroom to avoid being cut. The suspect also hit the comp in the face near the right eye with sandpaper in her hand, causing pain and... This is so wrong to laugh at, I'm sorry, but I love someone who, like, gets, you know, home improvement. Pain and injury to the comp's face. End of elements. The comp stated that he and the suspect were at a club earlier in the night with some friends of theirs. The suspect became upset and accused the comp of hitting on the friend's girlfriend. They came home and began arguing. She grabbed a large kitchen knife and began to chase the comp while swinging it in a cutting fashion. The comp ran into a bedroom near the front of the residence and locked himself to... Yeah, I guess they're going to repeat this whole thing, but... I like that Leanne doesn't try to completely deny it, because you know that she did this. You can see her doing it. Because she wouldn't just chase you with a knife. She would chase you through while making a cutting thing. Like, "I'm going to cut you like this.
Give me a knife and some sandpaper or your soul is dead.
Your charity world is over. Come here. I'm going to cut it out. I'm going to cut it out from your gut, or I could cut it out from your neck." Jesus.
"I'm going to buff you."
Jeez. So they're like, yeah. Terrified.
And by the way,
still.
You, I feel like we have to mention the fact that the reason why this report got out there is because good old Marie put it out there for the world. We all remember Marie. That was Leanne's bestie who then turned on her, and because she was basically terrified of Leanne, you know, Stockholm Syndrome. Well, she had been Stockholm Syndrome, and now she, like, snapped out of it. So yeah. They are they're in a very, very, very bad place. And I do hope we get to see Marie this season, because she's hilarious.
Yeah, and she'll make Leanne crazy. Stephanie says,
"Should you even have friends that take knives to their ex and it doesn't shock you? That's not a good friendship."
And Carrie says, "Well, I reached out to her when the report came out because it was the right thing to do." And Stephanie says, "Okay, well, we'll invite her, but first I'll frisk her for sandpaper and knives." It's like kind of a joke.
Yeah.
But, you know.
By the way, that's not going to be a frisking that will end well. Because you'll either find sandpaper and knives, in which case you're going to severely hurt your hands, or you'll find nothing, and then Leanne is going to kill you. Yes. Regardless,
she'll come around the back. She'll have some sandpaper on the bottom of her shoes. She's tricky, this one. She's already been caught once.
"I'm a carny. I know where they hide the sandpaper.
I'm a carny kid. Mess with me, you're going to pay."
This year, she didn't say it. She said, obviously, they have to have new lines. And this year, she's like, I'm no bull, but all horns. And I was like, no, there shouldn't be a butt there. But otherwise, yeah. I like this.
"Mess with a bull, you'll get the sandpaper."
Did you notice that one of the first things that they showed, they're like, "Look, horse statues, bull statues in front yards, and a trolley." Ding, 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 ding. Like a terrified trolley just trying to make its way up the street.
It's like, okay, everyone. All right. We're going to try to go down the next mile. We've heard that there have been some Leanne sightings, so we just recommend everyone keep your hands inside the trolley. It's like what they do at the Universal Studios ride when you go through Jaws. Unless, we hear they're sharks.
Unless you want your fingerprints sanded off, in which case.
Leanne just comes out with a roll of sandpaper. "I'm getting you, trolley!"
It's like when the X-Men start running out of powers. "I'm sandpaper hand.
I'm a mutant. My hand's a sandpaper."
"No one's going to have cleaner banisters than I come, Dan.
I'm going to rid this world of splinters."
So next scene is Brandy.
Hi. So after all this time, Brandy has not learned to protect.
She still looks like she just woke up. She's tromping around the store with Leanne because apparently they're friends now.
She doesn't look like major surgery. She looks like small. I mean, I know it's gross to talk about everybody's surgery, but it is a new season of a Housewives show. So, you know, I need to be updated. She doesn't look majorly surgeried. She still has those squinty, like she just did that eyes. But her eyebrows are higher. So I think she just did like a straight up pull up.
I don't think she's done anything. I seriously believe she just woke up and is having like early sensations of diarrhea. Like everything's fine now, but like maybe in like 25 minutes, she'll probably need to go to the bathroom.
Well, you'll know because you know she loves talking about poop this one.
That's true. See, that's why I know if she's listening. I know she's not offended. She's like, thank you.
So she's become friends with Leanne. She's like, surprise! I'm friends with Leanne. The lady who works at the store comes over and she's like, hi, honey, would you like anything? She's like, you know, bubbles for Brandy. And Leanne's like, you sure are something. But how do these two get along?
I honestly don't know. Well, actually, I do know because Leanne tells us the origin story of their new friendship. She's like, well, this one day I was out. I ran into her on her birthday and she said, it's my birthday. And I said, happy birthday. And we've been friends ever since.
You see, it could have been that easy this whole time.
So basically, to make friends, you either invite someone to Fashion Week or you just say happy birthday to someone.
It's easy. It's easy off camera, you know?
Yeah.
And Brandy says,
Leanne has been working on herself. Last year we did not get along.
And it's just a montage of, I'll kill you.
That isn't nice.
I mean, at the end, these two love talking about poop more than anybody else. So there you go.
Well, Brandy likes talking about it and Leanne likes doing it in a basket.
In a gift basket, remember. Yeah.
In a gift basket.
And Leanne's scandal. Like, try on this nightgown. Try on this nightgown. Oh my God, you're so sexy. I got that on a Snapchat.
I like Snapchat. It's this thing where you go on to chat, but instead of chatting, you just snap at people. Mimicker!
Snap
hey,
at
it went
me.
Away.
How dare you? So...
This is when we learn that Brandy and Steph are in the middle of a fight. They haven't talked in 4 months, and as we all know from last season, they were best friends, almost even sisters, but they haven't talked since Father's Day. And according to Stephanie, Brandy got mad at her, but she didn't tell her why. So Stephanie's been wondering and texting and writing all this stuff. But then we see that Brandy is like, well, she wrote in her Bravo blog that my marriage was a slow motion car crash and falling apart before her eyes. And I'm like, now they show it on screen. They show they do the pull quote and everything. I didn't go back to actually read the blog that Stephanie wrote because honestly, I could not care less. But
well, I mean, how Stephanie... could you read anything after they showed the offense narrative?
Yeah. So the sentence said basically, it was like watching a slow motion car wreck. That's not bad. If you're watching Brandy and Brian's, anyone who watched the show saw Brandy and Brian's relationship. It sucked. It was terrible. He didn't want to be there. He was angry. He was sad. So for her to say it's like watching a slow motion car wreck, that's not crazy, Brandy. I'm sorry. Don't project your insecurities of your marriage onto sweet Stephanie.
I know. Is it the person who filmed the slow motion car wreck and talked about it and rubbernecked, or is it the person who got in a slow motion car wreck? You know,
to me, it's like the classic thing. And of course, I'm basing this all on like one tiny little scene. I'm sure my opinion may change over the course of the season, but it seems like a classic thing where like her, you know, your relationship is in the shitter, and so someone happens to mention it, and you're so insecure about it, you're so upset about it that rather than admit that your relationship is in the shitter, it's easier just to push away the person who calls it out.
right. Well, you know she's mad if she's hanging out with Leanne. Because whether you run into Leanne on your birthday and you have a good time with her and become friends or not, you know that Leanne is the one who's going to go after Stephanie. It's like it's basically like walking into a gun store and being like, you know, can I have tea with an AK-47? Do you have anyone who I could have a nice lunch with, the weapon?
Yeah.
So Stephanie's like, we were like sisters. And then they show a montage, and it's just poop jokes and corkscrews in the eye. I was like, yeah, you know, that is a friendship right there.
Mm-hmm. Although, but now, you know, both girls are now, you know, sort of blaming each other for things in their marriage. So Stephanie was like, you know, I was helping Brandy so much when things were going bad with her and Brian because, you know, slow motion car wreck, et cetera, and that I neglected Travis. So my marriage really suffered because of her. I'm like, oh, yeah, these girls are okay.
They both end up blaming each other.
Yeah.
Last year, I was basically married to Stephanie.
She's like,
I had to put a wall up and be numb.
Okay. And then we get a terrified trolley for the next scene. It's like,
the producers are like, okay, let's bring in the fresh blood. All right, let's go to Cameron and her life. So we see Cameron talking to her maid Maria, and she's like, today I am gonna make pumpkin pasta. And it's like, Maria's just looking at her like, no, you won't, bitch. I know I'm ordering pizza for you soon.
She's like, get out of mi cocina, puta gringa.
Did you notice that Cameron has a son named Cruz and Stephanie has a son named Cruiser? What is going on in Texas?
Cameron has a son named Cruz and what's her other kid's name?
Hilton. And the husband's name is Court.
And his name is Court. I mean, come on.
If I didn't know any better, these are like clues to a scavenger hunt. Like, you're going to win an all-expense-paid Carnival Cruise trip by finding the clue in the lobby of the Hilton.
Under the tennis court.
So Cameron's like, mommy is making roasted pumpkin pasta. They're like, I don't give a fuck, mom.
My mommy was a miss cook. She made up recipes.
Wow.
From scratch. She would just make them up.
When I was a kid, I was such a nerd. I was more concerned with A's than my real life. My brothers would call me Nerd Patrol because when they did something bad, I would say, Mom's gonna know.
It's like, I'm not really sure what to think of you, but I really love that you think you're like super intelligent and just pretending to be a bimbo.
I know. Like, but I could also see.
It's like my favorite personality trait of a new housewife so far.
I also can totally see her being a tattletale, which is great. And then she starts saying, you know what I love about Court? Court is a nerd. And like when I met him, my friends were like, wow, guess what? The nerds found each other.
Well, I wasn't really interested in him because he's a midget. We call him the Hobbit.
I'm 6 feet, and Court, you know, he's the Hobbit.
That's love right there.
Yeah, it really is. We even installed a circular door on the house. So
he literally does have a little man Hobbit cave. So nice to not have to get a big screen TV for a man. We put an iPhone 6 down there, and it's like he's in front of a movie screen. Court, come up here. Mommy's making pumpkin.
He's obsessed with wizards.
He's like, do not tell anybody I have the ring.
Oh, Court, that's just the TV remote.
Leanne's like, give me that ring.
My precious.
So stupid. So she's trying to cut a pumpkin in half, one of those little baby pumpkins. And she goes,
this is crazy.
It is a crazy world, those pumpkins. It makes sense. She says one of the reasons why she loves pink is because with all the horrible things happening in our world, I like to live in a bubble, so I just put pink everywhere.
Yeah, you're really helping.
Yeah, that's where we are right now in America because we have too many people putting pink everywhere.
Yep, it's destroyed the entire world.
Yeah.
She's like,
you know, my husband is short, but I was just attracted to him because I really like Hobbit movies. And it wasn't because of his money. He doesn't flash his money. When he picked me up and said we're going on a trip, I thought he meant DFW. But it was a private plane.
I'm sure. Okay, you're so smart and you didn't Google his ass the second you went on a date with him. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Please.
And good for you, by the way.
Yeah. Good for you. Because he's reasonably cute. He's wealthy.
He's cute. And he's nice. And he names his baby stupid things, like to match his stupid name.
His babies are named after nouns.
Yeah. I like that. Court, Cruz.
Hilton and Cruz.
Court, Hilton and Cruz. I feel like those are all things that you would do at the Hilton. It's like the Hilton. Courts.
Their next baby is going to be named Spa.
This is my baby, Pumice.
Continental breakfast.
Pumice stone.
Okay.
This is my baby, do not disturb.
This is my baby, $5 Diet Coke.
This is my baby, seafood buffet.
Mini fridge.
Here's my baby, turndown service.
Date night.
So,
at Toulouse.
Hey guys, Toulouse. Time for date night.
So Leanne and Rich, her man, are going on a double date with my best friend, Deandra Simmons, and Jeremy.
Yeah.
And don't be confused by the apostrophe in her name.
Yeah, her name is not Deandra. It's Deandra.
Deandra.
She is head and shoulders above the rest. Get it, Deandra?
Hey, if you use the orange cap, it'll also get those little white lake spots off your arm.
Deandra is sort of like the Katie Lee Joel of the Dallas set. She is there. Apparently, she's very important because we got a flashback to last season at the reunion when Leanne was like, well, you know, the Simmons wedding, I was there. And Carrie was like, I was there too. She's like, yeah, well, I was inside. You were outside. I was standing right next to her. I was right next to Deandra.
There were only 50 people in the ceremony. You must have been at the reception.
And Carrie's like, one eye twitching, like, got me.
Hey, did you hear about the antenna wedding? Yeah, the ceremony was nice, but the reception was amazing. Get it? But you don't. But you don't, Carrie. But you don't get that reference.
Hey, I just want to smooth things out, Carrie. No!
It's sandpaper hands.
Mr. Sandpaper Man, give me a carry.
And if you don't, I'm going to gut you from your gut.
I'm going to gut you from your gut, mimicker.
This show, honestly. Okay, so yeah. Leanne, God, I've missed Leanne. So she's like, double date. This is Deandra and Jeremy. So she's like, Deandra, I could seriously eat an entire cow right now. And I'm like, yes, you could. And she's like, I'll take a Pinot. And then Deandra's like, I'll have vodka soda or whatever she said. And Leanne goes, never mind. I'll have double what she's having because it's going to be good. We all need this in our lives. Where she's
Oh,
she's rich as hell and my best friend. Yay me, score.
Drinks on you, right? So we learned that Rich had a spontaneous retinal tear, so his eye is messed up, which is why you may have seen pictures of him with an eye patch. And right after, like, they ask him, so what's going on with your eye, etc., Jeremy turns to him and goes, so what's your future? What are you looking at doing? I'm like, looking at doing? Come on, Jeremy, that's just rude.
Deandra goes, so it's a match. You're mentally disabled and he's blind. Ha! Starts laughing. I was like, I'm into this girl. And Leanne says, you see, we can poke fun at each other and neither one of us gets mad.
For now. See, it works because she's super wealthy and I'm not. So neither one of us get mad.
Yeah, exactly. Now, a spontaneous retinal tear. How spontaneous can a retinal tear be?
Called sandpaper eye.
It's called sleeping next to someone who's dreaming of wax on, wax off. Okay.
Mimicker, mimicker, mimicker,
mimic on, mimic off, mimic on, mimic off,
trolley on, trolley off.
Poor guy. So Deandra's saying, well, my mom won't retire just like me. We're both control freaks. She worries since I was born with a silver spoon, I can't get money on my own. And Leanne goes, you raise money for charity, so raise it for your business. I don't think you can really do. You can't take, like, your mom's diet shakes around to poor people.
Yeah.
Be like, please buy these diet shakes for these poor people. They need to lose some. They need less nutrients.
So we then go into Deandra's life. She's at home with Jeremy, and we learn that Deandra's mom, Dee, is going to be coming over for breakfast. And this woman must be a piece of work, because Deandra's like, oh God, mom's coming over for breakfast. We got to bust out the china. I'm like, yeah. China for breakfast? Because your mom's coming over?
She won't eat on regular plates. And her husband's like some hot ex-military dude who's now a photojournalist. Yeah. And mm-hmm. she's like, you know, it's great because I didn't have to marry a man from privilege because I'm already a rich girl. So I just got to marry a hot stud. And yeah. I did.
Pretty much. And then she starts talking about the mom, about how the mom, everything about... Like, the mom was a pageant queen, and then she got cancer and started a nutritional business and then started earning millions and millions and millions. And all we haven't even met this woman. We just see these photos, one photo after the next, and hearing how she spoiled Deandra. And I was like, I am obsessed with this woman, and I've not even met her yet. I am so excited.
So many mommy issues. Like, everything she says is just, everything. Like, is just loaded with mommy issues, which I love, you know?
Yeah. She was saying things like, yeah, my mom, I think this is when she said that my mom spun me rotten. By the time I was six, I had 245 dresses. I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
And I still do.
And you know that, you know, because then Deandra's talking about her house and she's saying, we like to call our house the United Nations because we have all sorts of African and Asian art, et cetera, from all around the world. And I'm like, you know, she just does that to piss off her mom.
Yeah. She's like, look, mom, we got this in Africa. She's like, God damn it. God damn it. She said, my mama had 35 pageant crowns. Everyone would say she's fantastic growing up, and I would think, what am I, chopped liver?
It's like, oh good, here we go.
And you know, the mom was like, you are chopped liver. Until you can find a way to unchop yourself, you will be chopped liver.
Yeah, I am so here for this girl. And then she goes, when she's talking about traveling to 75 countries, she goes, and of course my husband's a photojournalist, so we gotta show his art. And his art is like him in like drag in different countries. Did you notice that wall of him in like different?
It was like a bad Katy Perry concert. Yeah, yeah. There's a lot of appropriation going on.
So weird. It's like, here's drag in Africa. Here's drag in China. Here's drag in. It's like, your husband, what is going on? She's like, yeah, my husband's in all kinds of dresses. Mom loves this room.
It would be offensive, except for the fact that, you know, it's all a passive-aggressive message against D.
Yeah.
Like, look, this is who I married, mom. Yes. This is who I married. And look, I just got some Islamic art.
You know, she just put China down to make her racist mom mad. You know, her mom probably wanted the slate plates or something.
Hey, mom, these were made in China.
Hey, mom, they call these China. God damn it.
So D walks in with this, like, amazingly perfect blonde little wig and like her face full of makeup, like she's about to anchor the morning news, and immediately she's passive aggressive. She's like, oh, I never see you this early except for church,
to the husband, because you know the husband runs the fuck out of there every time. This woman, she just hates him. She hates everything about this girl. She's like, she's got Meemaw hair. She's got power Meemaw hair, because mostly Meemaw's going
get the, hair.
Yeah, they get it like put way up. And now they're learning it can still be high and straight, you know? So she's got this, like, power of Meemaw hair. And she's like, oh, look, it's your husband. He's like, So he's sitting there. And she's like, well, look at this. It looks so nice. These plates look so nice. And then Deandra tells us, you know, she was supposed to turn over her company to me in 2004. It is 2017.
Yeah.
Then there's just silence and this sound. Clink, 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 clink.
Well, what makes it even worse is that Deandra was following a whole different career in Washington in politics, and her mom basically was like, come back and take over the business. So her mom tricked her so that way she'd be like ensnared in her codependent web of motherly abuse, which is amazing.
Yeah, shit. You know, you can buy a house, you can buy some power Meemaw hair, you cannot buy a daughter to like ruin. You know what I mean?
Yes. And did you notice, by the way, that when she said to her, when Deandra said to Dee, she goes, oh, I put out the china for you, that Dee goes, thank you, instead of, oh, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah. It's like, well, thanks for showing a little respect to my eating patterns. And for instead once. Of my business that I built from the ground up with just my heart and soul that you'll never be good enough to take over.
Thank you for putting out one thing that isn't some garish Eastern art thing. Some tribal mask.
Why? Dry toast. How fitting. It's like, geez, you could just see this woman. Her face is pulled so far back, you don't know what she's thinking. All you can see it is in her beady little eyes, and they're looking like this. You're stupid. That's what they're saying. You're dumb.
It's as if Michael Myers wasn't a psychopath, like, knife-killing serial killer. It's that he was just a Texas Meemaw.
Yeah.
Michael Myers escaped from the institution and then just passed judgment on a lady.
If he was rich enough to buy, like, an actual face mask instead of a ski mask.
If he just had a better wig. Basically, yeah. It's like Lady Michael Myers.
Yeah, she's like, this is how rich people terrify people. So there's silence and clinking, and Jeremy's putting butter on his toast. And Deandra's like, oh, Jeremy, you don't use that knife for toast. Ugh, idiot. That's
so
enough
sorry,
to
mother.
Put your butter on a plate. Sorry, Mom. I'm sorry.
I should have put out the butter plates. I should have. I'm so stupid.
And he's like, well, that's your fault that I don't know that. And then the mom just shrugs like, idiots.
Yeah. The mom does not have a moment like, oh, relax. It's fine. It's breakfast. She's just like, This is why I don't get the company. You can't even handle a butter plate.
So the mom's like, there's a reason I want to meet. So she's like, okay, Mom. So she puts on her, like, smart person glasses. She's like, I'm wearing glasses now, Mom. Like, that is not
And by the
helping.
Way, I just want to say, yeah, those smart person glasses were hilarious. She looked like she was a jeweler. They were so massive. But Dee, here they are apologizing to Dee for, like, Jeremy not having proper butter etiquette, and she didn't put out the butter plates, etc. And then Dee starts talking. She has a full mouth full of food, and she is chomping away and talking. I'm like, listen, bitch, you don't get to be the queen of etiquette around here if you're going to be talking with a full scone in your mouth.
I'm rich.
She's like, I don't care what you think of me. I can still buy and sell you five times over.
Yeah. She's like, I don't waste money on someone else's company credit card. Now, listen, I came over here because I want to talk about that company credit card you got. You got to be responsible. Now, laugh all you want to, but you should see what shows up on these credit cards. You stop laughing. There are African skirts made out of glitter.
I don't even know what a dashiki is, but it's on the statement.
They're all him posing in the drag pictures upstairs.
She basically says, you know, I've got to go out of town, so you're going to have the company credit card, and I don't want you buying designer gowns at Neiman's. And not because they're expensive, it's because you don't have the body for it anymore, honey. Okay?
You don't even know what a budget is. What's a budget? And she goes, it's so you know how much you can... Did you say it's a car rental place?
Yes.
It's Dean answering. Like, he's the only one who would know that.
Yes.
She's like,
your budget.
It's how you know how much you can spend, Mom, every month. And she's like, yeah, well, I know you have a lot of ideas. But until you take responsibility of this company, I'm not going to walk away. I got toast in the back of my get Marie over here. Get that out of the back of my tooth.
You know what this house needs? It needs more paintings of whales and dolphins. None of this traveler. I mean, why do you need to have a fake wooden antelope?
So now
one of my favorite scenes of the episode. Sorry, everyone, is Leanne visiting her therapist. This scene, like, I was cracking up in the scene. Were you cracking up in it? And
yes.
Also, Ronnie, I thought it was the funniest shit ever.
Because Leanne really is, I can see that she really is seeing for the first time that she's criminally insane. Because she heard so much feedback and saw herself on TV last year. And she's kind of she's starting to understand things logically, but she's just crazy. Like, what are you going to do? And you see her trying so hard.
poor Leanne, what you gonna do? What you gonna do? See, a little Joseph callback, sorry.
Off somebody!
Sam Piper, the therapist. All right, Mrs. Frazier, let's talk. So
she's like, I really need to work on my reaction to anger. And that's what I'm here for. And then they cut to Marie going, you blame me for something I didn't even do, and then you threatened my life. And she's like, I'm just saying, I'll kill you.
So Leanne's talking about how this police report was a false police report, that her boyfriend made it up just to screw with her, etc. And, you know, Marie had brought it up, in life. And so Leanne is patting herself on the back saying, you know, the old Leanne would have basically, I would have attacked Marie and I would have said, let's talk about your stuff, Marie. And then the therapist just goes, yeah, I think that Leanne is still here.
Yeah. The therapist is not even bending at all, which I love, because she looks like so nice and blonde and sweet, which is so Texas, you know, and then she'll cut you right to the core.
Yeah, she really did, because Leanne was trying to get up. She's like, the old me would have beat her up the side of the face, but the new me says, good for you, Marie. The therapist's like, no, you still beat her
that's
up.
That's still there.
And still there.
Leanne's so cuckoo, she doesn't even realize how blatantly she's lying. She dug up a completely false police report. What? How could you dig up? It's like someone made a false police report a long time ago that she just happened to be able to dig. I mean, you're just nuts, okay? And she says, last year, my reputation in Dallas society was affected by my blow-ups. You could hear reverse beeps wherever I showed up. Beep! Beep!
It was just the trolley. Just the trolley's backing out of the yard. Oh, shit, she's back. And I like Leanne, her introspection. She's like, I feel like if someone hurts me, I just want to verbally destroy them.
Yeah. I wish that I could. I just don't like it when people change who I am. She goes, they don't change who you are. She goes, I do. Darn it.
Darn it.
It is me who's in control of me.
Oh, I loved her. I loved it when the therapist called her on that. They don't.
Yeah. And she's like, well, Carrie Duber reached out, but I'm just defensive. I believe Carrie, but I'm sure Stephanie's been talking about me in this report all over the city, and I don't trust her, but I wanna. And the therapist is like, look, I can't change your mind. Leave your knife at home. Okay? She's like, that's why stay focused, Leanne. Stay focused.
Do you understand how difficult it is for me not to attack Carrie Duber? Her own last name is an insult. You're such a duber.
You duber.
So then we go to Stephanie's house where she's cooking something and her kids are up on the counter, which also happened at Cameron's house, that the kids were up on the counter, fully sitting on the counter, the little island. Is this a thing now? Is this a thing that parents allow kids to do?
And you hate your counter setting. Child seating.
Listen, counters are not for children. Counters are for food and sanitary things.
They're also not for carols, okay?
Yeah, I don't want Carol Radziwill sitting on the counter. I don't want a child sitting. I don't want anyone sitting on a counter. Carol's thing was different because the way Carol sat on that counter at that camera shop, she was doing it like the cool girls, you know, like when people think they're cool. I'm going to sit up here, like a little higher than everyone else. It's like this really obnoxious body language that people do, especially girls. Sorry to be misogynist, but girls do it all the time. Oh, my God. Girls love – you go to a club, everyone's sitting in the banquettes. I'll tell you, the girls are always the first to get on top of the banquette. Like, I'm going to sit on top of it. You know,
I'm Carrie Bradshaw.
Because that was like, I'm cool
up here
Carrie
on top
Bradshaw.
Of the banquette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Stephanie's,
well, me and Travis are in a happier place. Last year he was my boss, and I was his extremely hot assistant.
I love her laugh. And she says,
my marriage is really good now because I found my voice. Also, last year I was basically married to Brandy.
And he's like, look, I'm trying to watch a game with Brian and Lane. Brian said, you guys still ain't hanging out. Figure it out. She's like, okay,
boss.
And meanwhile, Brandy has decided to also pull pretty much the same line. She's like, last year, my relationship with Brian wasn't great,
But because I was going through all of this from Stephanie, I had to pull away from Stephanie and spend more time with Brian. And now Brian's better. So things are better now that Stephanie's gone.
Like, oh my God, Brandy.
God, you two are ridiculous. And he's like, come on, honey. You know, Travis told me you're still not talking. You're too close for this. I cannot listen to much more whispering while I'm trying to sleep. And she's like,
yeah, but in the Dallas social scene, she's made an effort to be with more people that are more important.
And he goes, versus you. It's like, jeez.
And the straw that broke the camel's back is that we had a Father's Day event, and she stayed inside of Red Magazines, and then Travis was like, why don't you hang out? And she said, you hang out with your friends. And I was like, what, you think you're better than me? And then I was like, sad.
I don't want to be hurt again.
So let's go over to the Wolfgang Baker, where Cameron and DeAndra, the newbies, are going.
Wait, I just want to say one comment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry.
No.
Brandy is upset that Stephanie is being cold to her after Brandy stopped talking to her. Do you see what the issue? Like, So Stephanie wrote something in a blog. You know, maybe she shouldn't have written it, but honestly, it did not seem like the worst thing in the world. Brandy got mad at her. Stephanie reached out to her multiple times. Brandy would never respond. And then Stephanie gets dragged to a Father's Day event. And then Brandy's shocked that Stephanie won't talk to her. See, something is not added. It's like, now we don't, I would like to have all the details. You know what? If I got it wrong, I'm sorry.
But
I'm
that's,
sorry.
No, you're Don't right. Me. But that's how these girls are. And the thing is, I can never even listen, because even though they're acting like this to each other, they're still best friends. Because mm-hmm. they're using everybody around them against each other, you know?
Yeah, it's great.
Like, she knows it's going to make her fucking crazy that she's besties with Carrie. It's not like she mm-hmm. wants to sit there and hang out with Carrie, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, no offense, Carrie. But I then, mean, yeah, yeah like, she wants Brandy's to whisper a poop twin, yeah. you know? Yeah. And then Brandy's hanging out with Leanne. So it's like kind of romantic. It's like friend-mantic, you know? They're yeah. like,
you hurt me so bad that I'm friends with Leanne. Well, you hurt me so bad that I'm friends with Carrie.
It's like, oh, jeez.
We should be like sisters. We should be like sisters.
I'm like, you are like sisters. Do you have lifetime? This is what you bitches do to each other. One of you is going to end up dead.
And poor Tiffany Hendra, where is she? She didn't even get anyone out of all this.
Tiffany Hendra is like doing some YouTube in her closet right now. Like, it was my Sanctuary. Choice.
Welcome to the Sanctuary of Style. Now here's my husband, Faith Keith Urban.
Hey Keith, play that October tune while I show everybody what a cow neck is.
No, excuse me, I'm gonna go do some cocaine off the kitchen floor. So yes, as you were saying before, Cameron and DeAndra are at a pet store.
Well, people don't understand that I'm really smart. I'm just joking. You know what? I want to make pink dog food organic.
I'm like, you are dumber than a brick. So then DeAndra's like, we have the same breed, and that's why we're friends. Because Westcott's and the Simmons have been friends for years. We even live by each other in Highland Park, which is an exclusive neighborhood of Dallas.
Yeah.
But then every time Cameron talks, DeAndra looks at her like, fuck you.
Yeah. Did you notice that when Cameron was talking to the person working at the dog store, she goes, life is too short to keep eating brown food.
I know. Dandra's like, I just ate toast, bitch.
You know, I have to say, without the butter on account of the butter plate fiasco. So it was browner than usual. I just ate toast, bitch. I have to say, this crusade for pink dog food is so utterly stupid that I almost think it's my favorite Real Housewife invention, because I just like how bad it is. I'd like, you know, it's like she's not even really aiming high with her ambition. She just wants to make some pink kibbles and bits.
Well, if you think I'm dumb, tricked you. She's like, well, Louis Vuitton Westcott, I used to look at him. I had him before my husband. And I used to say, baby Lou, don't worry. I'm going to find you a daddy soon. He's going to be able to fit in this purse with you. And then I'm going to get something for you guys to eat. It's not bran.
Dog's terrified. The dog looks fucking terrified.
Yeah. So they do this, like, a taste test of various different treats, and Louie's not really eating any of them. It's like, oh, Louie, hilarious.
So she eats it.
Yeah, she does.
Like, it's good. It's better than my protein bar.
Deandra makes another comment in here where she goes, this girl is just hilarious. I mean, she is just so funny. She may play dumb Barbie act, but trust, she knows what she's doing. I was like, ooh, girl, Deandra hates her. I cannot wait to see this get ugly.
Exactly. So then we then go over to a park where Carrie meets up with Leanne, and they're going to be trying to move on from their low-level feud. So, you know, Carrie starts telling Leanne about how Mark was really hurt by Leanne's comments that, you know, if, for those who don't remember, Leanne had accused Carrie of stealing Mark away from his wife. Like, he was having an affair with Carrie when he was with his wife. And, you know, they denied that, and they were like, how could you? At the reunion.
We were just friends while I was working with it. It was friend fucking. That is not stealing.
Yeah, and it was true, but they couldn't really deny it. And Leanne doesn't even apologize for lying. She's just like, it wasn't my place to tell your business. And then Carrie's like, well, that's why I called you about your business, your police business. Because I'm not going to go behind your back about it. What are you talking about? It was on Twitter.
So, nevertheless, they both agree to have mutual respect because these women are smart. They realize new season, new storylines, right? Unlike our Orange County friends who are still, Tamara and Shannon, still going, like, refusing to film with Vicky, okay?
They're literally on a bridge, too, which is funny. Hey, look, I don't got time to build bridges, but we can meet on one.
So then with this out of the way, they start talking about Brandy and Stephanie and their fight. And basically Carrie's mindset is, I'm just going to stay out of it, and they've got to figure it out themselves. And Leanne's mindset is, I want to get involved, Mimicker.
They are literally not communicating. And she's like, well, they
really
have to work
this
out themselves.
Figurative thing.
These two are actually doing the fighting behind the scenes, you know?
Yeah.
Which is so funny. Leanne's guiding Brandy, and then Carrie's sending Steph all these texts to piss off.
Yes.
Oh, I mean, it's so housewives.
Exactly, because then it's time for Mark's big birthday party, and in the Uber over to the party, Brandy and Leanne are there, and basically, I guess maybe I might be jumping ahead a little bit, but Brandy received a text from Stephanie. But can you sort it out?
It seems like she was saying she got a text from Stephanie saying, but it's so hard because she's always whispering. But here's how you know that she's just being an asshole, because she's in the car with Leanne. They've both got roadies, which that's what I fucking love these Southern shows. They've got actual car drinks with lids and straws to drink their drinks in the car. So they've got roadies. And Leanne's probably told her, I'm going to anger management. You be strong for me tonight. She's like, I'm going to be strong for you. Just be careful, because I got a text from Stephanie saying that Carrie texted her and said Leanne's up to her old tricks again. And she's like, what? What tricks? Who said it? Where are they? I'm going to kill them. Not tonight.
Just because I'm a corny doesn't mean I got tricks.
Hey, pull over here into this Home Depot. I said I wouldn't sand her, but I didn't promise not to caulk a bitch.
I want all types of sandpaper. Coarse, fine, in between, anything you got.
I'm going to stick a stalk of Miracle-Gro up her ass and watch fern leaves just pile out of her ears. So stupid.
Roddy.
I don't even know where I am today.
I love it. I love it. Yeah, so basically, for those who are still, I just want to double clarify, because it still was confusing. I had to go back three times. Brandy says to Leanne, hey, Carrie is saying that you are up to your old tricks again. And Leanne's like, where'd you hear that? She's like, I got a text from Stephanie about it. So Stephanie had texted Brandy about Carrie, saying that Carrie was talking shit essentially about Leanne.
Right.
And meanwhile, Cameron is up at the party. She's like, you guys, this is my mission. We are going to get pink camo. I'm like, okay, well, she's really on a great story arc here.
And Carrie, she's like real life Elle Woods. More power to you. I'd be a good detective if I could shoot a bitch. Like, Elle Woods was a lawyer. Okay.
Yes.
And you can't shoot a bitch. Who's stopping you?
I heard that Elwoods is actually short for lesbian forest. So meanwhile, when Leanne hears about this text message, she's so mad that Carrie is saying these things. And she goes, you know what I'm going to do right now? We're going to pray.
Oh, God. And then she did. She's like, dear Jesus, keep this evening as peaceful and honest as possible. Please, please keep Carrie Duber from turning me into the goddamn Hulk. Like, the God is busy, okay? Is busy.
So they finally arrive at the party. Everyone's there. And Stephanie goes up to Brandy, taps her on the arm and says, hey, how are you? Isn't this pretty? And Brandy doesn't even respond. She just looks around. She looks up. She looks down. Looks to the side. It is so awkward.
And Stephanie's looking on sadly. And meanwhile, this is the music, which I love, because neither one of these women even talk loud. And the music is like,
it was. And I was on the edge of my seat. I was on the edge of my seat. I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And then Cameron's like, heck, I'm new. I need to get in the mix here. I've never met Brandy. So Cameron goes up and she just walks up to Brandy. He's like, hi, I'm Cameron. I'm prettier than you are. And I'm taller and I'm blonder and richer. Nice to meet you.
Brandy's like,
I'm wearing flesh tone dress. It looks like I'm showing skin, but I'm not.
And meanwhile, but they keep cutting to Stephanie watching, and it was actually kind of amazing, this look on her face, you know, because basically Brandy won't talk to her, but she'll talk to this random girl, and Stephanie's just watching, and you can see it's this mixture of anger and heartbreak and sadness and rage and confusion all on her face. It's like this amazing mix of emotions.
So all the ladies are gathered now. That's my favorite part of the thing. She's like,
Brandy, you want to talk for a second? Maybe just 2 seconds? And Brandy's like,
And Leanne's like, she doesn't want to tonight.
Well, then can we set up a time? I mean, at your house or whatever.
Why don't you just text her, hun? That's what good phones are for.
I've got a bad phone, though.
So then, it's like really awkward. Because Brandy's literally not even talking. And Leanne's basically her consigliere at this moment, and Brandy's just like looking up at a ceiling fan, and Steph's like, okay, well, you decide what you want to do. And Leanne's like, I don't think she knows what her schedule is right now.
I'm on rock, Hal.
It's what good calendars are for.
And Carrie's like, well, here comes Leanne like a hot missile, just you know, flattening towns with her iCal knowledge.
She's like a North Korean missile in Guam.
And so Brandy's like,
I gotta leave. I don't want to make a scene. I don't want people to see the pain I feel. That my best friend, it's not my best friend anymore.
And Leanne's like, like marching behind her, like, don't touch her. Stay behind the ropes. Godzilla needs protecting. God.
I'm like, Brandy, if you don't want to make a scene, how about you just say hello back to the girl, okay? Yeah. It's called pleasantries. You can do it. Like, put up – you're in Texas. You know how to say hi back. When someone says hi, you know how to say hi back.
So she walks her outside, and Brandy's like, wah, wah, wah. And he's like, all right, be quiet, honey. It's okay. Wait for me right here. I'm going to go not murder someone to prove to everybody that I'm normal now, okay? So she goes back inside. Ooh, this door is heavy. She goes back inside. And she's like, Carrie Duber, I am a little disappointed. Because on the way here, Brandy told me that Steph texted her and said that I was up to my old ways.
And Carrie's like, I would never do that. Never.
You believe me that I would not say that, right? Thank you so much for coming to me. Instead of making this a big deal, because I would never say that. And she's like, well, there's obviously a disconnect for those two.
And I would never say that. And thank you for not putting it out there. Because I didn't want to put it out there. Okay? I'm not going to let that happen to me.
Silly, this show. And she's like, well, if I want to build a new relationship with Carrie Duber, I'm going to just have to trust her. And so I'm going to trust her for now. Mimicker.
Mimicker.
But for that to be true, then Stephanie would have to be lying and spreading shit about Carrie. Which, of course, yeah. Carrie doesn't go say, why did you blah, blah, blah?
Yeah, exactly. Carrie. I think Carrie just pulls Stephanie aside. And I forget what she said to Stephanie, but it wasn't like, why did you say that? It was like, just there, little girl, whatever she said. I don't know.
She's like, have I mentioned I love sushi? Okay, Carrie.
Have I told you about my idea, blue dog food? Well, we're going to have a problem now.
I want some blue sushi rice.
Yeah. So,
all right. Well, what should we do next, Ben?
Well, that was the end of Dallas. Great season premiere. I hope people are tuning in for that. Okay, well, it's Wednesday, and on Wednesdays we like to do Listener Spotlight, which is when we turn the podcast over to the listeners. So let's do a little Spotlight. Listener Spotlight is basically for people who support the podcast on Patreon at the Listener Spotlight level or above. We give you 2 minutes to tell us about yourself and what you like on Bravo and things like that. And this week we have Jess Sayin, our famous premium sponsor, Jess Sayin. And at long last, we get to hear what Jess Sayin sounds like. You ready?
Yeah.
Hi, Ben. Hey, Ronnie. This is Jess Sayin. I've recorded a couple of these to send to y'all, but my phone this summer has seemed to want to take lots of deep dives into pools and oceans. So,
I've been there. I've been there, girl.
You're that girl.
And I can send you guys a voice memo.
It's the origin story.
I love everything you guys do. I'm a huge supporter. And the way I got started with the two of you is actually because I heard Stassi talking about Watch What Crappens on a different podcast. And I literally stopped what I was doing and looked it up, and I haven't looked back since.
Thanks
Stassi AF.
Hilarious. You guys bring me so much laughter and joy. I literally walk around my house with earbuds in and my phone in my back pocket day and night. It can't be replicated, the two of you.
Aww.
And I'm so happy you're out on the road. I live in North Carolina, so I'd love if y'all brought it down south. But I'm going to try and somehow get to one of your shows.
We'll try.
I heard something about Chicago, so that may be an option. So anyway, that's me, and I just love what you guys do. I have to laugh every time I hear What's the Matter, which I know is what y'all call one of Bethany's assistants, because somehow I now hear that phrase.
What's going on?
Many times in my day or week, which I never did before, or maybe I never paid attention.
Or maybe you're around Bethany's assistants.
It cracks me up. And yeah, that's kind of it. You guys are awesome. I have turned so many people onto your podcast and everything about the two of you, whether it's Rose Pricks or Watch What Happens, or sorry, Crappens, all those things. And I hate the sound of my voice, so hopefully
you
edit this out.
Lovely.
Or
you sound
just
lovely.
Listen to it and know that I'm your biggest fan. And so is my dog, obviously, because, you know, he just went off. So anyway, that's all it is. My name is Jessica. Handle is Jess Sayin. And I'd love to talk to you guys sometime soon. Love to call in, but keep doing what you're doing because you actually are making America great again.
Oh.
Love you, mean it.
Oh.
Love you, mean it, Jess Sayin.
Yeah, thank you very much. So, that's like the end of our show. Thanks, Jess Sayin, for sending that in. Say hi to your dog for us. Try to avoid all those what's a matters out there. And again, if you want to have your moment on the show for Listener Spotlight, just go to patreon.com/watchforcrappins and follow the directions over there.
Thank you so much, you guys. We'll talk to you next time.
Talk to you tomorrow for our Below Deck reunion and Real Housewives of New York reunion.
Boing.